Welcome back to the window. This is our June international break preview show, and we've got some exciting things coming up this window. We're going to talk about qualification for the 2023 CONCACAF Gold Cup. We're going to talk about qualification for AFCON 2023. We're going to talk about qualification for Euro 2024. And there's a lot to discuss. And before we get into it, Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to talk shop, and we're slightly behind this window. So there's already been games that have been played. I think there were games yesterday, actually, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, we had some AFCON qualifiers today. We had the Netherlands Croatia game today. There was a friendly tonight between Uruguay and Nicaragua. We're in it now, and it's exciting.
It is. We're going to jump into CONCACAF qualifiers to start with. And before this even kicks off, which Friday is going to be the first round and continue through Tuesday, we already have controversy. Did you think we were going to avoid controversy in CONCACAF before we got through the Gold Cup?
Well, no. No, George, because it's CONCACAF.
So for our listeners who have not heard, Nicaragua has been removed from the CONCACAF Gold Cup for fielding an ineligible player during qualification. And as a result, Trinidad and Tobago has been put into the CONCACAF Gold Cup automatically. So Trinidad and Tobago was set to go through the playoffs. They still had a chance to qualify, but they weren't in yet. That has now changed. Trinidad is in the tournament. And replacing them in the playoffs are Antigua and Barbuda. And they had to quickly turn around because this just happened 2 days ago and get their team together. You know, they were out. They thought their Gold Cup run was concluded. And now they're back in. They're in the playoffs. They head off to Fort Lauderdale and they're going to face Guadeloupe. And what's your read on this whole situation? Obviously, Nicaragua, they were guilty, and so CONCACAF did what is necessary. But what do you think about everything that went down? Are you excited for Antigua? Are you disappointed for Nicaragua? A combination of both?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both because, look, like Nicaragua seems to have like a history with this, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm pretty sure that that's why, you know, they were removed fairly recently. It was for something similar, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, there does seem to be some sort of history here. And so they really need to get their house in order. Like I don't know why they feel like it's necessary. You know, you're obviously you want to qualify for major competitions. I get that. But look, like. Okay, first of all, this is the Gold Cup. It's not like it's like the Euros or something. And obviously it's a prize jewel of our region, you know, for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it just makes you look so unprofessional and just really shambolic. And I actually do applaud CONCACAF for handling it in the way that they did. I think the punishment is just. Especially because for Nicaragua, I mean, you and I, we talked about it in the last show, right? Their qualifying campaign was like epic.
Yeah.
You know, and so to really like screw it up like that, I just, it's a total CONCACAF thing. And it's like, it's the kind of muck that this region really needs to like crack down on and like clean up. Like this is just ridiculous. So,
yeah. I think you bring up a good point too, because so, highlighting what we said before in a prior show, this was the first time ever in a Gold Cup that only one North/Central American team was missing. Of course, that is now going out the window, and we still return to never having that. But I think it brings up a good point because we've talked a lot about different CONCACAF teams over the course of the past year or two and who's next up. And getting excited about some of these teams that have found some players. You look at a team like Montserrat that was essentially, you know, unheard of, and they've been really strong. You look at a team like Suriname, where they've brought some players in and are really starting to get things going. So I think you're seeing a lot more of these CONCACAF teams trying to find these players and elevate their level, but there's a right and wrong way to go about things, and Nicaragua clearly has not figured that out yet.
Yeah, so it's disappointing in that regard. I guess to the back half of your question, though, I think it is, kind of fun that Antigua and Barbuda get a, kind of get a shot, to go at this. I think they've got a tough matchup against Guadeloupe,
I would agree with that.
but yeah, I think it'll be fun. I'm excited to see if they can bring anything to the table, and if nothing else, they have just as much shot as Guadeloupe to get through, so
And speaking of that, let's talk about that top bracket. You have Antigua against Guadeloupe, you have Guyana against Grenada, and I want to tell you something. You can either believe me or not believe me, but among those four teams in our We Global Football rankings, the team that we have highest ranked of those four is actually Antigua and Barbuda.
Of course it is.
So I don't think it would be that much of a surprise if they, yes, Guadeloupe is going to be a tough matchup. Going by our rankings, which you can put some value in them or not value them, though, that's the team that we would pick. So I think it's doable. And I think this is, if I look at these four, when we talked about this previously, I think we were both pretty bullish on Trinidad and Tobago. I think having them into the Gold Cup finals doesn't weaken the pool of teams. I think if you put them side by side with Nicaragua, I think you could easily make the argument that Trinidad and Tobago is a better team.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's an unreasonable thing, but this, to me, I look at this foursome, this is wide open. I don't think there's a favorite among these four teams. I think, a number of people might look at this and say, okay, it should be Guadeloupe, but I think this is going to be the most competitive of the four in terms of just all four teams having a real good chance to be the one that qualifies.
Well, so Antigua, also known as the Bene Boys, yeah, they, I'm kind of looking at their squad right now, and I agree with you. I think, yeah, I think that's maybe more open and even than maybe even what we're suggesting. And yeah, well, just lots of domestic-based players, it looks like. In fact, the Wikipedia page isn't even updated with their most recent squad for this. So I'm going based off of old information here, and literally just on a just on a quick glance. So I don't think I want to draw any massive conclusions, but
You're not believing the
well, it's tough when I it's tough when you look at that, but. But no, I mean that's it's. I mean, look, it's everybody's on neutral ground. It's gonna be really, really exciting to see, what team can capitalize on this opportunity, and wherever they end up in the Gold Cup, maybe they'll make some noise. Maybe this will be a launch pad for them to, to do something. We've seen that with teams that have qualified for competitions before. Look at Australia in the World Cup, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the winner of that, I believe, also goes into that group with the United States and Jamaica and Trinidad and
That's
Tobago.
correct.
So, not the easiest of groups, I don't think, for whoever does qualify, but I look at this and I do think that any of these four teams could easily be the one that qualifies. Moving down the bracket, we've got in the second foursome, Martinique against Saint Lucia, and then Suriname against Puerto Rico. People are bullish on Suriname, and I think it is easy to overlook Martinique. I look at these four teams, and Martinique is always a team that to me is competitive. They seem to be in that not necessarily top tier or really kind of after maybe the United States, Canada, and Mexico, you kind of have a second tier. I think they're probably right below that. Not yet into that bunch of maybe 6 to 8 teams after those top three. But Martinique is always a dangerous team. They've been at the Gold Cup. They've performed well at the Gold Cup. Who do you like coming out of this region between Martinique, Saint Lucia, Suriname, and Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Martinique, Suriname, quote unquote, final.
Yep.
Yeah, Puerto Rico actually played Curaçao the other day. I think that game was maybe yesterday. Yeah, yesterday, and it was a nil-nil draw. So I think, I mean, how much can you infer from it? I guess I don't know, but to me, I look at that and I say, okay, well, for Curaçao not to win that game, I think, is a little alarming. I thought maybe
Yep.
Curaçao had more, but it was friendly. It was, a warm up.
Yep.
And but I guess on the flip side for Puerto Rico to draw that game maybe says, oh, well, maybe, maybe we shouldn't count them out. But
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, I just think Suriname and Martinique are going to come out of those two brackets, and then they're going to face each other. And out of that game, I don't know, because you're right. They both have, Gold Cup experience from years prior. They both have squads that are kind of on the rise, more or less. A lot of expansion with, with dual national players and things like that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a great game. I mean, Suriname, like we've mentioned before, you've got, people like Yosef Zune and Geraldo Becker, right? Names that I think people are somewhat familiar with. I don't know if I'd say, household names per se, but
Yeah, I think they're not far off, if not. I think Suriname is a team that is going to really break through in CONCACAF. I think it's more a matter of when, not if. They just really have continued to build that roster with talent, and it could be now for them to really take that next step and push into the Gold Cup. And the winner that does come out of this foursome is going into a group with Honduras, no, I'm sorry, with Costa Rica, El Salvador, and Panama. And so you look at those three teams, right? You're looking at these Central American teams, Costa Rica, El Salvador, and Panama, and they're low scoring teams. And I think for a team that is really looking to break through and perhaps come through these qualifiers and maybe make some noise at the Gold Cup, I think playing against those three teams in more of a low scoring environment as opposed to really a high power team that's looking to score 4 or 5 goals a game, I think it gives you a little more opportunity because you don't need to say, hey, we need to score 3 goals against these guys to get through. So I'm looking forward to seeing who qualifies out of this foursome. And I would not be surprised to see some interesting games at the Gold Cup between the qualifier and the teams already in the group stage.
yeah, no, I agree. I think if you really push me, I think Suriname
Yep.
is I think they hold an edge, strictly because I think they have players that are playing it at a higher level. But that's not taking anything away from Martinique. Yeah, I think they're gonna put up a fight. So yeah, it's gonna be really exciting.
I'm going to go with Martinique, but I would not be surprised to see Suriname get through. Before we head to the last foursome, just want to give you a quick trivia question.
Oh boy.
Our rankings over the past, our rankings encompass the past 3 years of matches. Over the past 3 years, which country in CONCACAF has amassed the highest percentage of possible points? So wins plus draws over, winning all the matches percentage of possible points, which country has amassed the most over the last 3 years, the highest percentage of possible points over the last 3 years?
Okay, well, the fact that you're asking this when talking about these four teams, it must be one of these four teams. So I don't know. Martinique.
You are on the right path. It is one of the four teams, but it's actually Puerto Rico.
Is it Puerto Rico?
It is.
Really?
It is. Given, they have the schedule that they've had, but no country in CONCACAF has a higher percentage of points obtained over the last 3 years than Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
So, don't know if it means anything. They clearly didn't play at the World Cup like the United States or Canada or Mexico. But it is them. So, we'll see if they can keep that up against tougher competition.
Yeah. Wow, what a stat.
Yeah. All right. And then the last foursome in CONCACAF, we have Curaçao against St. Kitts and Nevis, and then French Guiana against St. Martin. How are you feeling about Curaçao? Because I feel like they are a team that potentially could have peaked maybe a year or two ago. And I have not been super impressed with them more recently.
I mean, I don't disagree. They lost both friendlies against Indonesia last year. They've struggled, I think, to put some results together. They got smacked by Argentina, but that's not really too surprising.
Yeah, the Nations League performance was not good.
Was not good. They've lost to New Zealand. They lost to Bahrain. I think they're a team that leaves a lot to be desired at the moment, but I still have hope, and really I probably have tinted glasses with this conversation because I don't know, for whatever reason I don't know, I just have like this little inkling towards them, I guess. I just think they're fun to watch, and it's, it's just so interesting to me to see them pull in all these different players. And so, I guess I wouldn't be shocked if, they're not able to bring it home, in terms of qualifying, but surely they can get past St. Kitts and Nevis.
I think so too. I would be surprised if they did not.
And then, I would suspect they're going to meet French Guiana, and that'll be a bigger test. I mean, I just think they haven't been able to really bring it together, and they have been introducing a lot of new faces into the team, and that, may or may not help. It doesn't seem like
Yeah.
it's helped so far, but on the other hand, they haven't had a ton of games
Yeah.
together, and so maybe now, maybe this window, maybe they've had a little bit longer to try to come together. I don't know, and so that makes it really tough. But they pull a lot of players, obviously, with their Dutch roots, right?
Yeah.
They pull a lot of players from the Dutch heritage. What am I trying to say here? Help me. But anyways, for this camp, they've got another new guy, Jurgen Locadia,
Oh
right?
yeah,
So
yeah, yeah.
he played here in Cincinnati just, a season or two ago,
That's a big pickup for them.
and that's a big pickup for them, right? But then they've already got guys like Zivkovic, Jenga, these are all guys that you and I are probably familiar with. I don't know if our listeners will be, but Vernon Anita, right? The Bacunas, right? So Leandro and Juninho, right? I mean, these are all guys that we've seen in CONCACAF for
Yeah.
at various stages, right? And then it just being able to bring that all together with all the new faces and everything, I think that's the piece I think that's missing, and you'd like to see it come together maybe a little more than it
Yeah.
has. So I guess that's my kind of my stance on
Yeah. It's interesting. French Guiana, they're not in World Cup qualification. And this is really it for them. When you think about what they have at stake,
Right.
they're playing for the Gold Cup, right?
Yep.
Every 2 years they're playing for the Gold Cup. They're not going
Right.
to be in World Cup qualification. It's also a bit interesting that just the way that the brackets worked out, Guadeloupe, Martinique, French Guiana are all in qualification and they're all in different brackets. So that's a little bit unique in terms of just kind of those teams that participate in CONCACAF Nations League, participate in the Gold Cup, but are not members of FIFA and then don't go through World Cup qualifying. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for Curaçao. I don't think French Guiana is a great matchup for them. And I think they may have been a little bit better off had they wound up in a different bracket, but I'm a little concerned about Curaçao and their ability to really bring it all together. I do agree. I think they'll get by St. Kitts and Nevis, but French Guiana concerns me. And if I'm them, I think it's going to be a little hard not to look ahead to that matchup.
Yeah, I agree.
Who are you going with to ultimately qualify?
I'm gonna stick with them. I'm gonna stick with Curaçao. I am.
Okay.
But I think it's gonna be tough. And I'm actually really looking forward to to both games. I think St. Kitts will be a good game, and then if they end up meeting in the last game there, then yeah, it'll be interesting. So I'm gonna stick with them. What about you?
I'm gonna go with French Guiana out of this grouping. I think in the prior one, I think I can see Suriname qualifying. I'm really struggling with Curaçao getting by French Guiana here. I don't like the matchup for them, but we will see. I think it's fun that they're all together. All happening on Friday and Saturday. And I also like what CONCACAF did as well in terms of all of these matches are at the same stadium in Fort Lauderdale. We were just talking a little before we started the show about what
Yeah.
that looks like, but other confederations such as UEFA, take note, staggering your game times is a good thing.
Yeah.
People want to watch the games. So
Yes.
having everything at the same stadium, you can't play two matches at the same time. So staggered game time so people can watch them all is a very good thing. And I'm definitely looking forward to trying to catch as many of these Gold Cup qualifiers as I can.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. And they happen to be at a decent hour as well,
Indeed.
so that's certainly helpful. But
Yes.
yeah, if
Not
I
it, it
was,
might not be as decent for our listeners in
that's
Europe
true.
and it might be a late night, but I mean, you're talking 2, 3 a.m. local time, Curaçao against St. Kitts and Nevis. You can't beat it. You
You
can't
can't
beat
beat
it.
it. Yeah, you can't. You
So
just can't. Yeah. And if I lived in Fort Lauderdale, you would probably find me at the stadium for sure, because you could possibly camp out there and catch three games in a row for one ticket. No.
And I'm sure tickets will be available. Cool. All right. So, those are the 12 teams that are still in it. We will know by Tuesday, the last three teams to join the 13 qualified teams for the Gold Cup. And the Gold Cup begins in a few weeks. The first match of the Gold Cup is June 24th. So, a little less than 2 weeks from now, there's a little bit of a break between the qualifiers and when the final tournament starts, but we'll be back to preview the full tournament itself and all 16 of those teams at a later date.
Yep.
All right. We are going to shift to a different location around the world now that we have covered the preliminary CONCACAF view. We're going to head over to Africa and talk about Africa Cup of Nations 2023 qualifying. Qualification for this tournament has been going on for well over a year at this point. It will still not conclude in June. Match day five of six. There are only six match days. That's it. There are six match days. Match day five is going to take place this month. Match day six will not be until September. But we will continue to move on through Africa Cup of Nations qualifying. I think you're going to see a lot more teams qualify just given the structure of the tournament. Mm-hmm. We
saw one today.
Yes, we did. Egypt has qualified. Guinea was close to qualifying. Had they drawn and Egypt not pulled out that win, both Egypt and Guinea would have qualified. Guinea's going to have to wait a little bit longer. Yep. But with 24 teams in the final tournament, we've got 12 groups of four, and we had also had two teams drop out, so it's really only 46 teams active and qualifying. The top two teams from each group will qualify, so it's more than half of the active teams are going to qualify. You just need to secure a place among the top two in your group. And given we're going to get through the fifth match day here, we're going to see some more teams qualify. So just taking a look at who has already qualified for the finals. The host is the Ivory Coast. So the final tournament is going to take place in January and February of 2024. Ivory Coast is going to be the host. They have qualified automatically. Also qualified already are Morocco, Algeria, South Africa, Senegal, Burkina Faso, Tunisia, and Egypt. So a lot of the teams you typically see at the finals, we already know eight of the 24 teams. Are you surprised that any of those eight teams are going to be at the finals?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I think if you were to single one out, maybe South Africa. But I don't know. You look at their qualifying group and it's not, maybe not horribly surprising, although I think we touched on this maybe in the last episode. It did kind of go down to the wire a little bit, but yeah. But no, it's good that they're back and they should be there, honestly. So no real surprises, I'd say, at this point in time. I think we could see a few surprises. Mm-hmm. But those groups are very tight, and it's going to be really fascinating to see how, like, it shakes out, right? So yeah. I'm talking about, like, Group F, right? So one of Tanzania, Uganda, or Niger is still in with the shout, right? Like, Central Africa, right? Like, they're playing very well, but they still have to, you know, Angola and Madagascar. So,
yeah.
Anyways, and even, I mean, they could qualify ahead of Ghana, potentially. So yeah,
they could. Let's take a look at some of the groups where there's still some things to play for. We'll go quickly through each group and just talk about a couple teams. So in Group A, after today's match, Guinea-Bissau defeated Sao Tome and Principe. Guinea-Bissau is now in first place on 10 points. Nigeria in second on 9 points. Sierra Leone in third on 5 points. And Sao Tome and Principe is eliminated. So Guinea-Bissau looking really good. Nigeria looking really good. A Nigeria draw or win over Sierra Leone. And they play
Sunday.
They play Sunday, 17th. Right? Yep. Yeah. A Nigeria win or draw will put both Guinea-Bissau and Nigeria into the finals. Do you think there's any chance for Sierra Leone to make any noise?
Yeah, good question.
Because Sierra Leone does play Guinea-Bissau on the final match day. So really, they still do control their own destiny. They need to win both matches, but they still do control their own destiny.
Yeah, and Nigeria... I mean, Nigeria is obviously one of the powers. So, yeah, I don't. Good question. I'm going to lean towards no. But if Nigeria throw up, you know, a stinker like they did against Guinea-Bissau, then that cracks that group wide open once again, and gives Sierra Leone the lifeline that they're looking for, basically. And then, yeah, it's a head-to-head, and basically, I mean, Guinea-Bissau would either need to draw or win that game to advance, right? And you know, I think the Leone Stars will be up for it, right? But you know, Nigeria is a good team, and you know, they'll definitely have something to say in it. I guess that's my take.
I definitely agree. I think Sierra Leone is going to struggle to beat Nigeria. But it's happened before, so it's certainly not out of the question. I think ultimately it's Guinea-Bissau and Nigeria coming out of this group. And if we do see either, you know, and just a Nigeria win or draw, the group is settled. So, I'm going to go with that, but, you know, Sierra Leone, definitely a team to keep your eye on. They have, they still do control their own destiny. They don't need help. So, definitely a team to watch. All right. In Group B, Burkina Faso is already qualified. Cape Verde is on 7 points. Eswatini is on 2. Togo on 2. Any chance back for the bottom two teams, or any chance that Cape Verde blows this 5-point lead that they have over the other two?
Well, I think there's always a chance, but I think the chance is low. But, you know, Eswatini and Togo, they play each other. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a winner in that game, then that team will be on 5 points. And if Cape Verde can't beat Burkina Faso, who they play, then, you know, then it's only a 2-point gap with one game left to go. And it becomes a little more interesting. So I think there's always a chance. Yeah, I have no idea how it's going to play out. If I'm being honest, I would guess, that it's going to be the top two as it is right now. Burkina Faso is already in, but Cape Verde, I think, is probably going to have the enough quality to take the cake, because whoever they play in their final match, they are probably better than. So I would favor that.
I would agree, and I think you make a great point that they don't even need to do anything, because should the other match end up in a draw, they qualify.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But I think that's going to be a great match to watch, because right, like, you look at both of those teams, Eswatini and Togo, they both know that a draw eliminates them, and they both know that a loss eliminates them.
Yep.
So both teams have to play for the win. They have to. There's no other option. So definitely a match to keep your eye on, because it should be a fun one.
Yeah. Also on Sunday.
Also on Sunday. I will be clearing my calendar for that one. Let's head to Group C. So we've got Namibia on 5 points, Cameroon on 4 points, Burundi on 1 point. Namibia and Cameroon have played 3 matches. Burundi's played 2. Namibia plays Burundi this window, and that's it for Namibia. It's their final match. So a win or draw for Namibia will see them qualify. If they lose, it creates a whole lot of scenarios in this group, because we were getting some messages. I think this is the first time that people have been sending us messages on Twitter, like, why isn't Namibia qualified? Why isn't Namibia qualified? Like, they're head-to-head is the tiebreaker. And there are situations where, should they lose to Burundi, things can happen with tiebreakers and such where they could miss out. It is highly unlikely that they miss out. But they know that they need a draw. It's unfortunate that this match is it's in Burundi. It's going to be a hostile environment, but do you think Burundi has a chance to come back? And do you think there's a way that Cameroon misses out?
That would be absolutely wild.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Cameroon's gonna miss out, but if it did, that's definitely we'll be talking about that one for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, in a group with Namibia and Burundi and you miss the AFCON, like
Yeah.
what?
Yep.
So yeah, no, I mean, Namibia and Burundi drew in the first game against between each other. And you know, I think I could see the same thing happening here.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure Burundi has the quality to make something happen. I mean, yeah, I have a hard time seeing it, but I think I would have said if this was a four team group, I think I might have said the same thing about Namibia as
Yep.
well. So you just never know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this match. This is one of my top definitely top to watch in this window, just because this group is so close. It's going to be a fun environment. A lot of these Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers have been played in neutral locations. This is one that is not. It's actually the
Yeah.
game is in Burundi. So it should be a fun one to keep an eye on.
A Tuesday.
They have Africa's, well, CAF has really stretched out the matches over this window. There's one match day, and the matches are going to be played across like a full week. And so, there's a few each day. There were a couple today. There's not going to be more till Saturday, but they've really stretched it out, but it should be a fun window.
So just in case people don't know where Burundi is, because a while ago I didn't, but it's right below Rwanda, right kind of northwest of Tanzania. It's like really tiny. Burundi and Rwanda are like almost the same size, and then to the west they're bordered by the Democratic Republic of Congo. So it's like, it's kind of an Eastern African country. I think a lot of people would say that. But yeah. I guess I don't know. I don't know where the game is. I mean, I know it's in Burundi. Maybe it's in Bujumbura.
It is in Bujumbura.
Okay, there you go. So it's gonna be a packed house, right there on the lake. A
Yeah.
big lake. I can't remember what it's called. But anyways, yeah, that's fun. No, that's gonna be great. That's gonna be great. I'm
Definitely.
gonna circle this on my calendar. You've
Yes,
pointed this out to me.
for Tuesday. I don't know what time it is, but as some other matches are concluding, that Burundi-Namibia match is definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I
It's
can
always
tell
fun
you.
when you see like some of the nations that are not regulars getting a chance to qualify, which Namibia has that opportunity. Should they draw or win, they will qualify. So,
So it is the first game on Tuesday. It is at 9
okay,
o'clock in the morning.
perfect, perfect.
So you can have it with breakfast.
If you're on the East Coast of the United
Yeah,
States,
that's true. Yeah.
or lunch or dinner, wherever you are located. All right, I'm going to skip through Group D a little bit. Egypt's qualified. Guinea's on 9 points.
They've
They
got it
need
locked
it.
in.
They do. They would need some absolute miracle for Malawi or Ethiopia to leapfrog them. If Malawi and Ethiopia draw, Guinea's qualified. They're in great shape, even though they did lose to Egypt today. But I'm going to skip through that group just because I think it's pretty much settled at this point. Let's move on to Group E, which is certainly not settled. So Ghana's on 8 points. The Central African Republic, I think, a bit of a surprise in second place on 7 points.
Surprise. Yeah.
A huge surprise. I stand corrected. Angola in third on 5 points, and Madagascar in last on 1 point. And I believe they are eliminated as well. I don't believe they can qualify because I think the Central African Republic and the Central African Republic and Angola play this window, so they cannot get into second. So it's really down to those three teams, Ghana, CAR, and Angola, for those two spots. So who of those three teams do you think is going to miss out?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Angola.
Wow.
I think Ghana is going to do it. And then yeah, I'd love to see Central African Republic do it. And you know, they've performed very well and they have a quality team, right? We've talked about this. You know, Jeffrey Kondogbia is the captain of that team, right, with Atletico Madrid. But then, you know, you've also got players like Luis Mafuta, who in the last window basically was like the goal machine. He scored twice for them against Madagascar. You know, and that's not the first time, but yeah, you know, so he's playing in France. You know, several other players also playing in France, and yeah, I think they have a really good thing going. I think they've got confidence, a plenty, and it would be very exciting to see them qualify for their first AFCON. Angola, the results just haven't been there for me. You know, they've struggled to find some points. They drew with Madagascar, and then they lost to Ghana. Then they drew with Ghana, and so yeah, I am. I'm pulling Central Africa. What about you? What about you?
Our numbers like Angola, but I don't know. I feel like so it's tough because the last match, Central African Republic is at Ghana and Angola hosts Madagascar. And so this is it for them. Like I think if they draw, they're in trouble. That's kind of my gut between Central African Republic and Angola. And in addition, because Angola defeated them at home, they would have the tiebreak. So if, just for example, they draw this window, even if Central African Republic gets a draw against Ghana, if Ang in Ghana, if Angola beats Madagascar, Angola qualifies. So this is really it. Like this is I think they have to win this match. If they win, they qualify, right? It's over. If they beat Angola, they're in.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just another one where it's like it's unfortunate they're not playing at home. It's at a neutral site. They're playing the match in Cameroon. I would like to think that Central African Republic can get it done. They showed really well against Madagascar in the last window. I'll go with them. Why not? It's okay to pick an underdog according to the numbers.
Yes.
I mean, they're in better form, I think.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to watch this one because I think Angola probably has a sense that if they can get a point here, they'll be able to get in. I think, you know, it get a point here, beat Madagascar at home, then Central African Republic has to beat Ghana. They have to.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be playing for a draw. We'll see how it goes, but I'll go with Central African Republic. Ghana also, just you know, for our listeners, they can qualify if they win. If they defeat Madagascar, they're in. They don't need any other help. They don't need anything else. They're in. So, you know, you never know. If they win, maybe they don't try as hard in the last match day, right? They're qualified. They have nothing to play for. Central African Republic may. I'll get on board with you and go with the Central African Republic here.
And I think something important to note too is that CAR borders Cameroon. So, you know, I think there's a good possibility of fans traveling to Douala for this game.
Yeah, it's not in their country, but it is not far.
Correct. Yeah. And so it's definitely closer for them to get to the game than it is for Angola fans, or Angolians. And so yeah, I think I'm wondering if that could be a potential factor here, and how that could affect things. Because you're right, it's a huge game, and if Central Africa wins, then they're in. And so easier said than done. You know, Angola, we know they're a tough team. We know they're very like stingy, hard to beat. But you know, they also Angola doesn't really tend to score a lot of goals. And I think that's going against them. Whereas I think
They've been in my mind, a little disappointing, I think, throughout qualifying. All right. Let's move on to Group F. So Algeria's qualified. This is one that you talked about right at the beginning. So let me turn it back over to you to talk about Group F and the three other teams that are in it.
Yeah, so you've got Tanzania on 4 points, Uganda on 4 points, and then Niger on 2 points. So Niger and Tanzania, they face off against each other. Whereas Uganda, they have to play Algeria. But yeah, you can't, I can't see Uganda pulling a result against Algeria, even though Algeria is already qualified. I mean, the talent disparity level between the levels, I think, is just too big, if I'm being honest. So where does that place everybody, right? If Tanzania can get a win over Niger, that doesn't necessarily, unless you might correct me here, but I don't think that puts Uganda completely out of it, right? Because Uganda beat Tanzania. And then, so it's like split on the head to head. So it's, they won one and lost one against each other, in the last window. And so,
That's right. Yeah. They both won away from home against each other 1-0,
which was weird.
So, what happens in that situation, should they end up tied? So their head to head is identical. They each won 1-0 away from home. If they end up tied, I think theoretically they still could end up tied with Niger in a three-team tie. That could create some wild scenarios. But if it's just Tanzania and Uganda, effectively their matches against each other are just completely wiped out. So you then go back and it's goal differential in the group, goals scored in the group. And you look at them right now, goal differential in the group, both on -2. Goals scored in the group, both on 2. They have identical records.
Yep.
So I don't know. I need to go through the AFCON regulations and see if we get into a coin flip scenario or drawing of lots or whatever they're calling it. But the Tanzania-Uganda battle, they are identical, as if no matches have been played and everybody's on 0. Do you know what the 12th tiebreaker is?
I do not. I definitely do not.
Let me see if I can get that real quick. Yep. Drawing of lots. So as it stands right now, they'd be drawing a team name out of a hat to see who would be qualified for AFCON. So we'll put that to the side. Which of these three teams do you think is going to be the one that qualifies?
I don't know. I don't want to pick. I don't. Man, I have no flipping clue. Like, I'm kind of. It is. It's like total drawing of lots. So I'll just flip a coin. I'll just flip a coin. We'll say Uganda. We're going with the Cranes.
All right. I'm going to go with Tanzania. I feel like it's going to be between those two. I think Niger's got a really tough mountain to overcome. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be one of those two, but we'll see. I mean, they're not out of it by any means because they also don't play Algeria, right? They already played them twice. They play Tanzania. They play Uganda. Their destiny is in their own hands. If they win both matches, they're in.
I should maybe mention though that Uganda did lose today in a friendly to DR Congo, just 1-0. But so I don't know. That's just something to think about.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Group G. And we'll try to get through the rest of these AFCON groups, not too long. There was a really exciting match in Group G today between Gambia and South Sudan. And we were talking about that as the game was going on, and Gambia, they came through. They scored at the death, and they kicked off, and that was the end of the match. So, as it stands right now, as we are recording this, Mali is on 9 points, Gambia is on 9 points but has played 5 matches, Congo is on 6 points, and South Sudan was eliminated today and are now still on in last on 3 points through 5 matches. So, did you think Gambia was going to pull out the match? And then, second follow-up question, do you think Gambia is going to qualify?
I actually did feel pretty confident about Gambia pulling out that result. I thought they played pretty well. I do have to give a shout out to the goal scorer, Hamza Barry. So he actually subbed in the second half, and he plays his club football in Denmark for Vila, which is they, if I'm not mistaken, they were just promoted into the Superliga in Denmark, which is the top division there. So good for them. Perhaps he's a key cog in that team, in Vila, and proving his worth for Gambia today as well. So, anyways, to your second question, yeah, this is another really exciting group. Like, I know I didn't want to take too long on this group, but with Mali and get the Gambia and Congo in this group, it's kind of fun. I do. I think I like Mali and Gambia to come out of this group myself. I think it's just a little bit of a step too far for Congo, but man, they have certainly proved their worth. Up to this point in time, Congo has already beaten the Gambia, during this qualifying campaign. So, they're capable of putting together a result. So it's gonna be really interesting to see.
I think for Congo, their last 2 matches, they host Mali and then they're at Gambia. And I think this upcoming match, especially with Gambia winning now, they have to feel like they have to win this match. So if you're again, we're circling matches left and right in this AFCON qualifying window. And another one, if you want to really see a great match like that Mali Congo match is going to be an awesome game. It just is. They're playing in Brazzaville. That place is going to be rocking. I can guarantee you that. And you never know. I think Mali, we've talked about them a number of times and the quality there, but it's a tough environment, and I think Mali's just going to be looking for a draw. Because if they draw, I believe they qualify. They defeated Congo in their first match, so a draw for Mali is enough. They're in. And so I think it changes the situation for them. But that's going to be a great game. I would not be surprised to see Congo pull it out. I think Mali's got enough quality to at least get a point and be able to qualify, but it's definitely going to be a fun one. I agree. I think it's ultimately going to be Mali and Gambia, but Congo is definitely going to have something to say before that's
Yeah,
settled.
fireworks in Brazzaville.
Absolutely. And that is why you come to the window. I just want to highlight something that Joe said before, that connection of Danish second division football and Gambia players. You cannot find that on any other podcast. That is why you come here. That is the depth of knowledge that Joe brings to the table, and that's awesome. I love those connections.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. Let's head down to Group H. So, Group H, probably one we're not going to spend as much time on. Host Ivory Coast is qualified. Zambia is on 9 points. Comoros is on 3 points. Comoros needs to win two. Zambia needs to lose two. Do you see Zambia blowing this?
I don't. I think
I don't
Zambia.
either.
Yeah, I think Zambia. I think we're looking at kind of a renewed squad here, and we did touch on this last time. I think, I'm I'm starting to get a little high on Zambia here.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely have some good talents, right? Patsindaka
Absolutely.
and et cetera. And for Comoros, you know, it's been a really disappointing campaign, right? They play Lesotho in their next game. That should be 3 points. If they don't get 3 points there, that just adds to an already just really disappointing campaign, I would say. But yeah, at this point, I think it's too far out for them, and I think Zambia's got it.
I would agree. I am not gonna really give Comoros much chance here, which is probably not the nicest thing to do, considering they were at the last AFCON, but I think Zambia is far too good a team to blow a lead like this. But I'm sure I'll eat those words at some point.
At least the Comoros kit is still
Yes, still
amazing.
fire. All right. Group I, I would say, is at the total opposite end of the spectrum. And it is wide open.
This group is nuts.
I think we probably both like Gabon to ultimately qualify. They're in first on 7 points. Sudan, I think, is a big surprise in second on 6 points. I think most would have probably picked them to finish bottom of this group. Mauritania is third on 5 points, and then Congo DR is on 4 points in last and still trailing. But they're still only 2 points out of second place in that qualifying spot. So let's talk about this window and what is going on in this group's in this window. So the big match, I think, is Gabon hosting Congo DR. Sudan and Mauritania are going to play in Morocco. I think that's a bit more of one of those neutrals. I don't think you get that kind of, as we were talking about Central African Republic and where that match is being played. They're playing in Morocco. I think you're going to see a mostly empty stadium there, just to be honest. But Gabon is hosting Congo DR, and if Gabon wins that match, they are in. That's it. They don't need any other help with Sudan playing Mauritania. They are in if they win. If they win, Congo DR is in a lot of trouble because they can be eliminated if they lose that match and either of Sudan or Mauritania win, Congo DR is out before even getting to the final match day. So let's talk about this Gabon Congo DR match. What do you think that is going to be like?
I think it's going to be a little bit of chaos, but I think it favors Gabon for the reasons maybe that you just mentioned, but also because DR Congo is going to be without Cedric Bakambu. He got a red card in the last game. And so one of their star
That's a huge
strikers,
loss.
it's
That's
a
a
huge
huge loss.
loss. Plays for Olympiakos in Greece. Now the one thing is, and I may be incorrect, but I'm going to suspect that Gael Kakuta, who is currently playing for Amiens in France, is probably going to slot into that second striker role, right? They typically, at least in the last window, it looks like they played with two up top, Kalulu and Bakambu, and then Bakambu got a red card. And so, yeah, that's a big loss for them. Yeah, when it's, when it's matters the most, one of their star players is going to be missing. That being said, though, as we've mentioned before, this DR Congo team has a lot of talent. They've got players playing at Brentford. They've got players playing at Olympiacos, right? They've got players at Sochaux and Cadiz, right? In La Liga, Besiktas, Marseille, Standard Liège. I mean, there's talent through
Oh
and
yeah.
through in this team,
Oh yeah.
right? Bordeaux, et cetera, right? So the problem is, like, they just haven't been able to put together. Like, they started off on a really bad foot. Now, granted, in the first game they only lost to Gabon by a goal to nil, right? So I think it's going to be a tight game. But Gabon, on the other hand, they did lose their last game to Sudan, which was wild.
Yeah.
But also, a team that hasn't been able to put the ball in the back of the net very much either,
Yeah.
right? So yeah, I don't know how this game is going to play out. I think yeah, I think Gabon is maybe the favorite. But yeah, I it's what are your thoughts on this game?
I feel like what we're going to see is a Gabon Congo DR draw. I think the other match is going to somehow Congo DR is going to stay alive despite not beating Gabon. That is what I think is going to happen. It seems like they just keep hanging on and keep hanging on. I don't know. I don't feel like Gabon is going to lose at home. They got the big road win. I feel like it's going to be a draw. I feel like it's going to be a 0-0, 1-1 draw and still leave this group wide open. To me, it feels like I don't know. The Sudan and Mauritania, I am hopeful that they can, nothing against Congo DR, of course. I'm hopeful that they can really make that move. I just feel like it's not going to happen for some reason. So we'll see.
Yeah. There is in slightly other Gabon news, so Aaron Bupenza is a striker for Gabon. He just signed for FC Cincinnati. So that's my local MLS club here. So he's a designated player. So I'll be very interested to see how he performs. I think he's in the Gabon squad for this. I would imagine he is. He's one of their regulars, and I don't think he's injured.
Yeah.
So anyways, another little tidbit
I
there.
still feel like it's gonna be Gabon and Congo DR that qualify. But
I mean, it's certainly not out of the question,
yeah.
right? Like, had Congo won against Mauritania, it'd be a little bit of a different story, right? I think we'd be saying, but they have seemed to kind of pick up form in the last two matches. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Indeed. Let's move to Group J and then we're going to move quickly, I think, through the rest. So Group J, Tunisia's qualified. Equatorial Guinea is on 9 points. Libya's on 3 points. It's down to the two of them for a qualifying spot. Equatorial Guinea just needs a point or at any point or Libya dropping a point. I can't see Equatorial Guinea slipping up.
No.
I think they're in too great a spot. I think, similar to how we were talking about Zambia.
Yep.
I don't think Libya, when we were talking about Zambia and Comoros, Comoros does have some history. Libya, I don't think they're talented enough to close the 6 point gap and have Equatorial Guinea slip up over the final two match days.
All right, Group J, book closed,
Perfect.
done.
Group K, we don't even need to discuss because
No, we
Morocco
don't.
and it's
And
done
sorry.
and dusted. Morocco
Yeah.
and South Africa have qualified. Liberia is out. They're gonna play some matches, but they're not gonna mean anything. And then Group L, Senegal also has qualified. We are down to three teams here, but each of the three teams is still alive. So Mozambique's on 4 points, Rwanda's on 3 points, Benin's on 2 points. I think this is another one to watch where it's like it's wide open. I don't favor any of these teams. I don't think any of the teams. I would say like Mozambique the most. I mean, they have a little bit of an advantage. I feel like they're probably the most talented of those three teams, but the other two teams, Rwanda and Benin, they've been legitimate. And so what are your thoughts here? Do you like Mozambique also, or are you thinking one of these other teams?
I'm going with Benin.
I like it. I like it.
No real rhyme or reason. I'm just feeling it. But yeah, this is gonna be also a real like crazy scramble. So, if if Rwanda somehow gets some sort of result, I mean, it's just going to be wild. So, yeah, who knows? To be honest, you again, you could flip a coin. I'm just going with Benin.
I like it. I like it. I like it. All right. So that is the last of the groups in AFCON. A lot going on. You have 12 groups. I think we're going to see more teams qualify. You know, we talked about that a lot. I think just mathematically, you need to see teams qualify. I would guess we probably get somewhere in the, I don't know, maybe 15-ish range after this window in terms of qualified teams. I think maybe halfway between who's qualified now and the final 24. But yeah, I think the field is starting to take shape. We'll be back again in September to talk more about AFCON qualifying. And then finally, as the year turns, we will have the final tournament. So a lot more to come in AFCON, but I think I'm probably most excited about this window compared to prior windows in AFCON qualifying. I think just looking at some of the games, and now you're getting really towards the end and seeing how meaningful some of these games are. I'm definitely circling a lot more of them on my calendar than I had been previously as games that I want to watch.
Yeah, for sure. So here's another reason why to go with Benin. Player by the name of Tosin Aygun. He plays for FC Zurich, and he's pretty freaking good. So
Good to know. I did not know that, and now I will definitely keep an eye on him.
24 years old, pretty good season. Anyways, we don't need to go into it, but yeah, that's one to watch.
Awesome. All right. And so we're gonna wrap up, and it's gonna not be wrapping up yet, but we're gonna wrap up with Euro qualifying. Lot to talk about in Euro qualifying. We've got two full match days, match day three, match day four of 10 in Euro qualifying. And you know, we've recapped Euro so far. I think there have been a few surprises. I think not a ton of like, wow, this team's really in trouble, and we thought that you know, they were sure things. Let's go through some of the groups and just see where teams are at, and take a look at some of the matches that are going to be a little, you know, a little impactful
Are
in this window. So,
we starting with Group A?
do you want to start with Group A?
Let's start with Group A. Can you guess why?
Looking through the standings, is there a team that you're interested in?
There's a huge game.
I see a team in fourth place, and a team in first place that are scheduled to face off on Saturday. And we're talking about Norway and Scotland. And
Massive game.
I assume that's the match that you were thinking of.
That's right. So in 2 days' time, and Haaland is here. I have that confirmed. I have eyes on him in Norway. I rented somebody over there, said they'd just watch him for me.
Joe has repositioned himself to Norway for this window to ensure that Erling Haaland is playing.
Fresh off his Champions League win, fresh off his treble. Like,
Were you
he's
watching him
got
at the parade? He wasn't going too wild. He knew that he had Euro qualifiers on the back of
That's right.
that
Not
Champions League win.
like Jack Grealish. That's right. He's yeah, exactly.
Nobody's seen Jack Grealish since the parade.
That's Yeah, exactly. No, we I shipped bubble wrap over there. They've got Haaland in bubble wrap. We're gonna hope
Yeah.
that that works. We've got a cryo chamber all reserved for him specifically, whatever he needs, a masseuse, whatever, because the dude has to show up. Like, the dude needs to score some goals. He needs to celebrate his treble. He needs to let it all out. He just needs to smack Scotland around a little bit. Sorry, all my Scotland fans. I do apologize. This is a critical game because if we don't get a good result here, it's not looking pretty.
And we being Norway for Joe.
We being Norway. Yeah, sorry. I'm not biased at all.
No. And Scotland, right? They got a huge win against Spain in the last window. A huge win. And Norway
Ridiculous win.
has not really gotten their campaign going. And so, we talked about this previously. And if you're looking at finishing in the top two and you're looking at a team like Scotland, that you probably didn't expect to necessarily get a win against Spain. Maybe they got a point at home or whatever the case may be in terms of your expectations, especially in a five-team group, getting 3 points off of Spain puts a tremendous amount of pressure on you to really get a win when you're playing against them. And I think this is it for Norway. I mean, it's you're
Oh, it
talking
is.
about match day three and match day four of for them it's going to be 8 matches, but they've already played two and they only have 1 point from those 2 matches. So
Disaster,
I think they need 6 points. I think they need to beat Scotland, and then I think they need to beat Cyprus. They're playing at
Cyprus.
home.
Yep.
I think they need to win both of those matches to really
Absolutely.
feel like, hey, we can get into the top two. I think without that, if they can't beat Scotland, they're still 5 points behind them, and they've already played them at home, and it doesn't get any easier. So,
Sorry.
I mean,
And
that's a must-win for Norway. Absolutely.
absolutely. If they can't beat Scotland, then yeah, it's the game's almost up, and you have to start relying on other people to get results, and that's when it starts to get really hairy and just not good. No, absolutely. This is a 6 point window. If Norway drop any points at all in this window, you can almost just kiss it goodbye, which is a real shame because nothing in Scotland. I'm nothing against Scotland, but Erling Haaland, he's one of the best players on this planet. He
He
deserves to
is.
be there. He's backed up by a squad that is full of very talented players, right? It's two home matches for Norway. You have no excuse. They're sold out. They're completely sold out. I saw that the other day from the Federation. It's the NFF has said there's no more tickets. It's completely sold out. Oslo, capital, Man, the NFF should have pre-game, they should be doing everything to get people hyped up for this and get Haaland wrapped in bubble wrap and it's anything you can do. And their squad, I
This is
mean,
serious.
it
This is
is really
serious.
serious. It is completely serious. And I will say too, it's gonna be so Erling Haaland is obviously the star, but they did call up for the first time Bard Finne. Who is playing his club football at Brann in Norway. That's a club in Norway in the Eliteserien. And he is lighting it up. I regularly watch the league and he lit it up last year with so so Brann got promoted this year into the Eredivisie. They're one of the biggest clubs in Norway. Their relegation was a complete disaster. They picked up Bard Finne from, I think, from St. Pauli. Maybe it was on a free. He came back to his home country of Norway. He lit up the second division last year. He's lighting up the first division this year. This is his first cap for Norway at age 28. But the dude's on fire. So if Haaland, if isn't clicking, then you do have a somewhat decent backup, in Bard Finne, who, granted, this is his first cap. He's never played for Norway before. This is his first international game. What a stage to come on and just get the winner, So, it's gonna be really interesting. And we've talked about Norway a lot. I don't want to spend too much time on them, but they're a country that's really up and coming. I mean, they've got players now at Napoli, Borussia Dortmund, Feyenoord, right? Feyenoord
Arsenal.
just won the Eredivisie, right?
Arsenal.
Brentford, Arsenal, of course, Arsenal, right? Obviously, Odegaard, right? But Roma, Benfica, Club Brugge, right? Manchester City, obviously, Celta Vigo, Real Sociedad. I mean, these are players that are playing at a high level. There is no excuse for you not to be able to qualify. It's just crazy. So I'm gonna hop off my horse. We need to move on to something else now.
It's I, and I think your points are spot on. I think you are totally right about the quality of Norway and the depth of their squad. But one big but. Look at how they performed in the last window
I
without Erling
know.
Haaland.
I know.
So
Yeah.
I think he's the difference maker. As good as they are as a team, there are a lot of other good teams too, and I think he is the difference maker. He's definitely the guy to keep an eye on. We've talked about Scotland in the past, and they've performed really well. I think they're going to be looking to get, something solid out of this window. I don't think they feel like they need to get 6 points out of this window at all. But this group is a little bit interesting with Spain being in the Nations League finals. They're not playing any qualifiers, so it's really just the four team kind of round robin between Scotland, Norway, Georgia, and Cyprus. And I did want to spend a little time on Georgia because, I think they're in play too. I would not really write off Georgia. Speaking of players, they now have a superstar as well. And a legitimate, like, world-class superstar. And we're talking about Kvaratskhelia, just won the championship in Serie A with Napoli. It was one of the best players in the league the entire year. He is a superstar. There's no doubt about that. And Georgia has only played one match. They played Norway. They got a draw against Norway at home, which maybe they're happy with, maybe they're not. But it's an interesting window for Georgia as well, because they're at Scotland and then they're playing Cyprus. I think they have a chance to shock Scotland a bit. I think that is something that is not, like, I think Scotland should be very concerned about that game and what Georgia could do, because if you look at what, this group could be totally turned upside down depending on how that Norway and Scotland game goes, how the Georgia and Scotland game goes. You could see theoretically Scotland drop to third and have Spain be in fourth after this window. I mean, that is a possibility. So I would not lose sight of Georgia, but the games in Group A, I'm really looking forward to Group A. I think you've got a lot of good teams that are really going to be in it and competing to qualify. So Group A is definitely one of the ones that I'm going to, be looking forward to watching the most.
I think I'm going to need to take Friday off.
Yeah. There's too much going on. All right, let's head down to Group B. So, Group B, France and the Netherlands, probably the two you expect to qualify. France is already on 6 points. Greece is also on 3 points, as well as the Netherlands. Greece is, they've only played one match. They won it. This window, it gets a little more interesting. Greece is hosting Ireland. That's
Big
going to be
game.
a big one.
It's a big game.
Our numbers have been big on Greece. We've taken a lot of heat from some of our followers about being overly optimistic on Greece. I think that Greece Ireland match, I think, could be the difference maker. If Greece comes out of that match and wins that, I think you need to start thinking about them a little more seriously. Like Spain, the Netherlands is playing in the Nations League finals. They just lost today to Croatia. But they're out of this window. They're not playing any qualifying matches. And I think France is going to be fine, but I really think, Greece is hosting Ireland and then they're at France. That Greece Ireland game, I think, is really going to be a turning point in this group. Is Greece for real? Can they take down Ireland? Can Ireland make a play and maybe make some noise? They have, they have no points through one match. It's just one match, but they really need to get going. So that to me is really going to be the turning point, is that Greece Ireland match, and see really is anyone potentially a serious contender for either the France or the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think if this game ends in a draw, I think that's going to be really disappointing for both sides. I think it's a must-win for Greece. You're at home. You're going to have a sold-out crowd. I believe they're playing in the. I think they're playing it in the new AEK Athens Stadium. AEK Athens just won the league. Literally brand new stadium this year. Like it's set up to be a fantastic atmosphere. Gus Poyet has Greece playing, pretty good football, and Greece is actually filled with, a fair amount of talented players, right? It's not necessarily like the Greece of old that I think a lot of us look back to in 2004. Where they're packing it in. No, they actually come out and they try to play with you. And yeah, I think it's going to be challenging for Ireland. I really do. I if anybody's interested in learning more about the Greece national team, and even the Ireland one, the Hellas Football Podcast had a really great interview with Barry Glendening, who is from The Guardian, this last week, where they were previewing this game because, yeah, it's a big game and everybody in Greece knows it. And yeah, Barry's Irish and he wasn't too keen on Ireland's chances here. But they do have, they do have Evan Ferguson, guys like that, who is really announced himself on the stage with Brighton this last season, in terms of Ireland. But yeah, it's gonna be a supercharged atmosphere. I think I favor Greece just going into that game. I could definitely see a draw happening, but for Greece, yeah, it's you need the 3 points here for sure.
Agreed. And then Greece is at France
Which is a wash.
on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think I don't know. I mean, that's the type of game that I think if Greece is serious about overtaking one of the two top teams, they need to show something there. I think if they just get run over by France, I think you're gonna have to expect that a lot of this kind of Greece, Ireland talk, you probably have to think ultimately it's going to be the Netherlands that beats out the other two teams. So I think I'm going to keep an eye on that one as well, because I think that's really a good barometer for Greece to say, like, look, are we serious about competing with either of these other two teams?
Yeah. Well, in Greece also have the backup too, right? Like they've qualified for the playoffs. So they're playing with a little bit of house money in a sense. But still, you it's everybody wants to just qualify outright.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely. All right, let's head down to Group C. So, England's on 6 points. They're looking phenomenal. I think like France, they're in great shape. Italy is on 3 points. North Macedonia again on 3 points through one match. Of course, it's one match. It was against Malta, but they got the job done. They did what was necessary. It was only 2-1, but they did what was necessary. Ukraine yet to get going on 0 points in one match, and then Malta on zero at the bottom with through 2 matches. So, I think this group's going to get a lot more interesting. Not in the Malta England game, but North Macedonia is hosting Ukraine up first, and then England's hosting North Macedonia, Ukraine's hosting Malta. Italy's not taking part in this window. Again, some of the teams we talked about as being in the Nations League finals. North Macedonia and Ukraine. Let's talk about that game, because that I think is probably the big match of the window. What are your thoughts on Ukraine? Because I think from a team quality perspective, we've talked about Ukraine a decent amount over the last few months or year or so. I feel like they have not played up to their potential.
no, they're definitely struggling. I think they actually kicked off this international window with a 3-3 draw against Germany on Monday, I think. And I mean, that's not a horrible result, but yeah, given everything that's happening in the country, given Yeah, just yeah. I'm not. I don't have a whole lot of hope in Ukraine at the moment, and I hate to say that, but it's not the team that it once was. And that being said, though, North Macedonia. I mean, they beat Malta, but Ukraine's not Malta, so
Yes, correct.
I don't know. I mean, it's if North Macedonia could come out with a win against Ukraine, then I think that's a bit of a statement win. Certainly in terms of being in contention for qualification. But yeah, it's hard for me to see past England and Italy in this group.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. Italy is just baffling to me that you can, see the team that was at Euro in the fall of 2021. It was, a year or summer. It was a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago at this point. And then the team that was in World Cup qualifying, and when they played England in the last window, I mean, they didn't look that good. I mean, they ended up losing 2-1, but they were at home. And I think, if I recall correctly, England went up 2-0. They may have pulled one back. But I don't know. I think Ukraine and North Macedonia have a better chance than people think. And I am not convinced yet that Italy is going to run away with this. I am convinced that England is going to run away with this. I don't think England's going to have any difficulty, but I don't know. There's just something about Italy that I think these teams, especially in North Macedonia and Ukraine, I think they're going to be tough. And I think typically what you see from Italy in qualifying, and again, I would need to go back and look at the groups. I feel like Italy's had weaker groups in qualifying, where they've been, the top team, the second, third, best teams. They were clearly the best team in the group, and they had some cushion. They didn't have an England in their qualifying group that was, in my opinion, better than them. I think it's a different story this time around, and I don't know. I agree. I think they ultimately will qualify, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think North Macedonia and Ukraine are going to be pretty tough to put away.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a fair assessment given results from the past, and we know that both Ukraine and North Macedonia, they don't lie down without a fight. So I think that's a
Absolutely.
fair assessment. It'll be interesting to see how Italy comes out tomorrow in the Nations League against Spain, and what they can do there too, and if that maybe kickstarts things even more. So.
All right. Let's head down to Group D. So, Group D is interesting in that think you don't really have the sense there's like a clear top two in this group. Croatia's on 4 points through two matches. Wales is on 4 points through two matches. Turkey's on 3 points through two matches. Armenia and Latvia yet to get on the board. But I feel like, Croatia probably is not the third best team in this group, but I don't know that there's a clear top two. Wales will play Turkey this window. So again, Croatia is the last of those teams that is in the Nations League final, not competing. Turkey's at Latvia. Wales is hosting Armenia in the first match day. In the second one, Turkey is hosting Wales. Circle that one on your calendar. That's going to be a
Yeah,
huge game.
that's gonna be a big game, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that one? Because I think, well, first of all, do you disagree that Croatia should be among the top two in this group?
Do I disagree with that? No.
Yes.
No,
Okay.
and I think we saw that today against the Netherlands, right? Like, I think the Netherlands, you might say, are a better team than both Wales and Turkey, and Croatia, I wouldn't say dispatch them with ease, but barring a very late equalizer from Noah Lang for the Netherlands, like, Croatia basically had that game wrapped up, and then they went on to win it with scoring twice in extra time to take a 4-2 win. So yeah, Croatia definitely one of the top two for sure. And that to me leaves Turkey and Wales to duke this out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wales got off to a good start, but they have not. Oh, no, they did actually. They did. They played Croatia. They played Croatia in the first game. They drew with them, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a great result. In that
yeah. They got a really good result there. Yeah. Yeah. So Turkey to me is the one then that, you know, seems to be under the gun a little bit. Right. And so
agreed.
They're going to need to find some points in this window for sure.
Yeah. And especially because they're hosting Wales this time around, I really think that they need 3 points from that match. Yeah. You know, they really need to get going. I don't know. I think I feel like those teams are pretty even.
Turkey and Wales.
Yeah, Turkey and Wales. Mm-hmm. I think they're pretty even. You know, we've talked about Gareth Bale being gone now. And really, what is that team going to look like post-Bale? I'm not super impressed with Turkey, though. I think they're a good team. I think they're not a great team. And I think I'm not sure if being good is good enough to get into the top two.
Yeah.
So I still think it's in my mind, Croatia is going to qualify and it's going to be between Wales and Turkey. I don't really see much coming from Armenia or Latvia, but that's kind of how I see it. Is that, are you in the same boat there?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that, that Turkey Wales match. So.
The thing for Turkey though, is that they seem, I don't know, they have a lot of, domestic based players, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And the Turkish league we know is not necessarily the strongest league in many different ways. And so, you know, you look at their squad and you're, you know, sure, they've got players at Roma and Inter, Benfica, Borussia Dortmund, Marseille, but you also have a lot of players that at your, or at the big three, right? Galatasaray, Besiktas, Fenerbahce. And it just doesn't scream like, oh yeah, like, I know. Look at this, like, this is like, there's, you know, so it's, but I guess if, you know, if you take a look at the Wales team, maybe it doesn't, you know, necessarily scream the same thing either. And that's why right. They're kind of on level terms, I guess. But
yeah, this to me feels like one of the more even battles where it's like, you could really see it kind of going either way in terms of who qualifies and who does not finish in the top two and needs, you know, needs a lifeline through the playoffs to continue their campaign.
Right.
All right. Let's head down to Group E. I feel a little more certain about what's going to happen in Group E than I did previously. Right now, Czech Republic's on 4 points, Poland's on 3, Moldova on 2, getting 2 draws from their 2 matches. Faroe Islands with 1 point for 1 match. Albania did not get anything from their first match there and last on 0. Czech Republic and Poland, I think, are looking pretty strong. They've got a lead. In my mind, they're on paper the two best teams in this group. I think Albania might have something to say about that, but this group is getting a little more away from those bottom teams than I initially expected. What do you think about the Czech Republic and Poland? Do you think they're clear? Do you think they're good to go? They're going to qualify, or do you think, you know, there could be some disruption there?
I think Albania is the dark horse in this group. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Excuse me. Czech Republic shocked me when they dispatched with Poland, you know, to start things out. But then the Czech Republic shocked me by drawing with Moldova.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, does anybody want to take a lead in this group? Yeah. You know? And that's where I feel like Albania has the advantage. So they play Moldova. That's theoretically should be 3 points for them, and
Yep.
that then moves them into the picture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I will say that this Czech Republic team is going to be a fun one to watch, especially I think for years to come. They're kind of bleeding in a lot of players. One player that has definitely caught my eye is Ladislav Krejci. He plays at Sparta Prague, who just won the championship in the Czech Republic. He has played very well. Definitely, I think a name to look out for.
Yeah.
But then you've got, you've got young stars like Adam Vlosic, who's at Bayer Leverkusen. Patrick Schick, he's not really young anymore. He's kind of hitting
Yep.
his like prime, but he's at Bayer Leverkusen as well. Right, Thomas Suchik, who's at West Ham. Right, so like the Czech Republic, I've felt like a lot, and we've had this discussion a lot. Like they've underperformed.
Yeah.
Like they should be doing better than they're doing, and I'm just wondering now if it's starting to like come together.
Yeah.
And so that's the factor for me. Whereas I feel like Poland is maybe on the other end of that stick. Like they
I
kind of
think
have like
that
an
is fair.
an older squad, right? And I know Poland's trying to make moves to bring in some younger players, right? We talked about Ben Letterman in the last show, et cetera, et cetera. But like, no, I mean they have Portugal's old coach now as their head coach, who's for whatever reason his name is escaping me. Has it been a great start for them? I don't know. I don't think people were expecting them to lose to the Czech Republic, but I think the Czech Republic is better than people thought. So, anyways, long story short, that's kind of where my head's at.
The Czech Republic, I think, is a team that has some names that you mentioned, but I think are not necessarily at the forefront of people's minds. It's like, hey, who are the stars on the Czech Republic? And you need to like give it a little bit of thought. And it's not to say they don't have great players and that aren't well known, but I don't think they have like that, one or two names that really sticks out as like, this guy is gonna really, really propel the Czech Republic. So, but I agree. I think they're probably pushing towards that and are kind of more at the beginning of that phase where maybe you look at, who transfers over the summer. Maybe you see a lot of these players that are at Sparta Prague moving around Europe and seeing some movement there and really getting some recognition. So they've continued to play well, and I think they've continued to show that they're a really good team, and I expect that to continue. So I like them. I think they're playing the Faroe Islands. I think if they win that match, they're going to be in a great spot on 7 points through three matches. I really think it's the Czech Republic and Poland in this group. I am not nearly as optimistic as perhaps you are on Albania.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. I think Poland and Czech Republic will be the top two. But I think, I guess what I'm saying is don't count out Albania per se. But
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think just briefly too, and I don't want to spend too much time on them, but the Faroe Islands, right? So I'm a big fan of, random leagues, I guess. And so the Icelandic Besta deal then, which is the top league in Iceland. There's a couple of players that were called into, well, one player that was called into the Faroe squad, Clement Olsen. He's a regular for them, for the Faroes, but just wanted to mention that because, well, because we don't talk about the Faroe Islands a lot, and
We do not.
I've gotten to watch Clement Olsen quite frequently the last couple months because Iceland plays in as a summer league. So they just reached the midway point through their season. He's playing for Breidablik, which are the defending champions, and they start their Champions League campaign in the next week. And anyways, he scored some really good goals. So he's in form for the Pharaohs. So I don't know, something to
Yeah, I mean,
potentially look at.
I would not count them out. I'm just looking at some of their recent results. They lost at North Macedonia, but it was 1-0. They drew Moldova in qualifying. They drew Kosovo last year. They lost the Czech Republic pretty substantially, but they beat Turkey in the Nations League, which is crazy, in September, drew at Lithuania. So, I mean, I think they're to me one of those teams that they'll fight you, you'll fight you, you'll fight you, but if you get maybe two past them, they might kind of fall apart a little
Yeah,
bit.
exactly. Exactly.
But you have to get there. And, they're hosting the Czech Republic. I don't think it's going to be a pushover. I think, you might see maybe a 2-0 Czech Republic, or a 2-1 or 3-1, something like that. I don't think you're going to see like a 3-0 or 4-0 from the Czech Republic there. So, all right. Let us shift to Group F in qualifying. So, Austria, I think, has been a bit of a surprise for us with 6 points through two matches. Belgium won their only match. They're on 3 points. Sweden is only on 3 points through two matches. And then Estonia and Azerbaijan both have zero. So, it's looking like Estonia and Azerbaijan are not really going to be much of a factor in qualifying. It's probably a three-team race between Austria, Belgium, and Sweden. And given Austria's start, how concerned are you about where Sweden is?
Well, it's concerning, but it's not necessarily surprising. they've officially now seen Zlatan retire, so that's official, at least until he comes back in 2 months. And then kidding, I'm kidding. But yeah,
Maybe.
it's maybe. Yeah, for Sweden, I don't know. They're in the middle of a, I think, of a generational shift change. I think we'll see Sweden get back at it in a few years, if I'm being honest. So, not really surprising, maybe a little disappointing, but Austria is definitely surprising. Granted, they've played the, they played Estonia and Azerbaijan, so they
They
haven't played
have. They
Sweden or
have.
Belgium yet. And they played Belgium in the first game.
And play
This
Sweden in the second
window,
game.
second game. Oh, is it second game? Sorry.
No, they play Belgium in the first game, then they play Sweden in the second game.
Oh, there we go. That's
So
right.
they're gonna get challenged real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the jury's still out in terms of, this group for me, and I think we'll have a clear picture after the next two games.
I don't know. Austria to me is a team that I just feel like they are way better than they've shown in the past year-ish or so. Between the Nations League, between World Cup qualifying, I just feel like they're a much, much better team than they've shown. And I don't know if, maybe there's some reluctance to kind of turn the page a little bit. Arnautovic was their striker for years and years and years. I think his time has passed, and I think they really need to kind of turn the page and, recognize that they've got a lot of good young talent. Like, yes, David Alaba's 30, but he's still incredible.
Oh, yeah.
He is not in that bunch of people that you need to turn the page from. But they just have a lot of other really good talent that I feel like Austria is a team that, like, they've had some struggles, but I think they're gonna show that they're one of the best, 20 teams in the world or so.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. I think one of the reasons why they were so poor is their coach. And he's, I don't know, he's still, so Ralf Rangnick, he is a mixed bag. Like, he a lot of people aren't really for him, don't like how he plays the team. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they can do against Belgium and Sweden. And you're right. I mean, they definitely have some ballers in their squad for sure. You know, a lot of players that play in the Bundesliga in Germany. You know, so yeah, that's I for me though, the jury's still out. I can't. It's hard for me to get a read on them. Like, so I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, we'll see. I think I'm apprehensive about Sweden as well. I think, you know, it's fair to be apprehensive about Austria given the recent results. But yeah, when you're looking at them in Sweden, and you know, we'll find out pretty quickly. They're playing against each other, so we'll find out pretty quickly if it's you know, Austria or Sweden that is really looking to qualify. Because I think if Austria defeats Sweden at home, I think Sweden is just about done. They've both have played already, you know, already played two matches. Austria is playing twice this window. Sweden's only playing the one match, but to get a 6-point lead and, you know, maybe even more through almost half the matches, I think Sweden's going to be in a lot of trouble if they do lose at Austria. And the tough thing for Sweden, Austria has the playoffs as a fallback. You know, they're not guaranteed to be in the playoffs should they not qualify, but Sweden cannot get into the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, Sweden needs to know that they can't get in through the playoffs. This is it for them. So I think, you know, and that's their one match this window. So it's going to be a good one. That's definitely one you want to circle, that Austria Sweden game. So definitely one to keep an eye on. All right, let's head down to Group G. So in Group G, we've got Serbia on 6 points. We've got Hungary on 3 points. We've got Montenegro on 3 points. Lithuania and Bulgaria both on 0 points. Serbia's running away with this, aren't
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, it looks that way right now, but I think Hungary's going to have something to say about this. I think Hungary, they looked really impressive. They've got really tough game against Montenegro, and if they come out on top in that game, I think that's going to be a huge blow to Montenegro for one, and for two, yeah, I would say, I don't know if I want to say it's a statement win, but it's definitely big, and it's going to be Serbia and Hungary, I think, that duke it out for this group. And yeah, Serbia have looked good for sure. You know, they beat Montenegro fairly comfortably back in the last one. When was that? March, yeah.
March.
And but you know, Hungary is better than Montenegro, in my opinion. And I think Serbia and those two games when they play each other, I think is going to be electric.
I would agree with that. I think this group is the least dramatic of all 10 of the groups. And Serbia's already won. I think Lithuania and Bulgaria are both not going to challenge Serbia or
No.
Hungary. Serbia's already won at Montenegro, and Hungary is at Montenegro this window. So for Montenegro, right, they will have played both of the teams that are ahead of them at
At
home
home.
already and still need to go to both of those teams. If Hungary defeats Montenegro and wins in Montenegro, I think this group's pretty much done in terms of the two that are going to qualify. I think it may be done already, but you know, Montenegro needs, I think they need to win. I don't even think a draw is good enough for them at home against Hungary. I think they need to win. Mostly because of what you just described, and that Hungary is a really good team. I think people kind of thought their Nations League performance is like, nope, you know, people don't really care that much about the Nations League. It's great, but I think that is dramatically underestimating Hungary and the quality that that team has. So, yeah, that Hungary Montenegro match, to me is really like that's the group, I think. I think if Hungary wins at Montenegro, I don't think there's much left to be to be decided there. Hungary hosts Lithuania, Serbia's at Bulgaria. I think, you know, matches like that, if you get a point, great. If you win, even better. But yeah, that Hungary Montenegro match, I think, is definitely the one to watch and really could be a decider very early on.
Guess what day it's on?
Is it Friday?
It's Friday.
All right. Well, I know that I will be watching that. We need to get this podcast out to the people so that they can let whoever know Friday is an off day. We've got matches circled on our calendar.
There you
We need to watch those matches, and that is what's happening on Friday. It's gonna be fun.
Gonna be
All
awesome.
right. Let's head down to Group H. So Group H has been it's been wide open so far. So Slovenia is on 6 points in first place, Denmark on three, Kazakhstan on three, Finland on three, Northern Ireland on three, San Marino on zero. But I think we talked a lot in the past about Denmark, and we're obviously both very high on Denmark. Yeah, their match in Kazakhstan was wild. An incredible comeback by Kazakhstan to get 3 points against Denmark. And I think that kind of broke this group wide open. And you have to still like Denmark, I think. But you can't ignore what Slovenia has done. And I think, you know, coming into the qualifying, looking at them versus Kazakhstan, Finland, Northern Ireland, I don't think it was clear that Slovenia was better than those teams, but they've gotten two huge wins thus far, and they topped the group. So, what are you expecting from this group? What are you expecting to change in terms of the order of that top two, Slovenia, Denmark? Who's going to make some noise and shake things up?
So Denmark plays Northern Ireland. Slovenia plays Finland. Yeah, I could see it's a home match for Finland. I know the state. I know it's a sold out match.
Yeah.
People in Finland are very excited about this game, and I could see, I could see Finland, getting a win here.
Yeah.
That would not surprise me in the least bit. And if they don't, and if Slovenia wins, then I think I'll start taking them a little more seriously.
Yeah. Finland's got a great chance though. I mean, they're at home against Slovenia and then they're at home against San Marino. So, you could easily see them move towards the top of this group after this window.
Oh, absolutely. They should definitely be looking at least to get a 4-point window out of this,
Agreed.
right? And I'm
Agreed.
thinking a win against San Marino and a draw at least against Slovenia,
Yeah.
right? And I think anything less than that is going to be slightly disappointing.
Yeah.
For Denmark, I still really feel like they're the strongest team in this group.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything more to say if I'm being
Yeah.
honest, right? Like it's my boy Dolberg, he got dropped from the national team. He wasn't called in this window. After Hoyland's performance, that's not too surprising. And I think he kind of locked in his spot. Yeah, I mean just the Denmark team is just so deep. I mean it has to be like a fluke that they lost like that to Kazakhstan, which is just it's just wild. But yeah, so Denmark for sure. The other spot is totally up for grabs. I have a really hard time seeing Northern Ireland taking it. I think it'll be between one of the other three. I think you'll see Northern Ireland drop out possibly after this window.
It's a big match with them hosting Kazakhstan. Northern Ireland is at Denmark, then hosts Kazakhstan, but Kazakhstan plays San Marino first. And I think Kazakhstan really could have some life if they
They
defeat
could.
San Marino and are able to get a win at Northern Ireland. I mean, that puts them on 9 points, and you could see, Denmark, you could see Denmark in fourth place or something after this window, depending on what happens. So,
Well, and I think Kazakhstan feels will feel or felt hard done by in the game against Slovenia. You know, that
Oh
was a
yeah,
game
for
where they
sure.
really probably should have at least had a point.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had a bit of a lapse. But anyways,
This group's wide open. This is one of the most fun groups, if not the most fun, I
For
think.
sure. For sure.
Just because it's nothing is really settled, and not to say that anything is necessarily settled in other groups, but you have a sense that some of these teams are about to pull away or in that position. That is not the case here at all. It's early on. All these teams will play 10 games. They've played two. The teams are still all bunched together. So yeah, there are a lot of matches in this group that I'm going to be interested in this window.
Tomorrow, late tomorrow.
Yes, very exciting. I have to take off for that too. So
By
seems to be a theme.
the time you're listening to this, it'll be today.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's head down to Group I. Switzerland, I think we expected to be towards the top. They've looked very strong thus far, 6 points, 8 goals scored, none allowed, and they're in first place. But Romania has gotten 6 points through two matches. I think a little bit of a surprise, perhaps. Kosovo on two, Andorra on one, Israel on one, Belarus on zero. So Romania's gotten off to a hot start. You look back at who they've played. They got a 2-0 win at Andorra. They defeated Belarus 2-1 at home. So I think the schedule's been a little bit kind to them thus far, to get them on that six. But I think we've talked about a couple of these other teams, Kosovo, Israel, and expected a little more out of them. So
Definitely.
Switzerland has looked good. Romania has looked good. What do you expect going forward? Do you think it's going to be continue to be a romp with these two teams, or do you think some of the schedule has led to this current state?
Well, I'm not really sure where this Romania team came from. And yeah, there's quite a few games left to be played in this group, eight to be exact. So there's a
Yes.
lot left to be determined here. So yeah, I like Switzerland. I think that's probably everybody's favorite. But yeah, disappointing from Israel, and I don't know. I mean, maybe Romania is the best of the rest. And that's, and that's how it's going to end, already a 4 point gap there. So yeah, that's kind
I
of
think that Israel draw against Kosovo was tough.
that was real tough.
It was just, that was the type of match where I think that they got a fairly favorable draw. I think things could have been worse. They were in pot two. Those are the types of games you need to win. And they did not look competitive at all against Switzerland, but it's early again. They're a team that I think has some opportunity. They're at Belarus, and not really at Belarus, but they're at Belarus, and then hosting Andorra. So I think Israel's a team that you'll see really get back into it sooner than later. I think they're going to get more of that benefit of some of that scheduling. What are your thoughts on Kosovo? Do you think there's anything there really with Kosovo? Do you think they have a chance to overtake maybe Romania or Israel?
I do not. I think they're capable of drawing and having a lot of draws, and I think that's as far as it goes.
I think that's probably a fair assessment. I think it's really between Romania and Israel, to be honest, is where I'm at. I think it's a little bit early to lean either way. But I think, yeah, I think you have to give Romania the edge now. But yeah, I think it's early, and there's definitely going to be some bringing of those teams together. I don't think Switzerland has anything to worry about at all. After Portugal, which we'll talk about a little bit, our numbers give Switzerland the second highest chance of any team to qualify directly. So, I don't think that's surprising given where they're at and the rest of the teams in this group.
Agreed.
All right. Let's finish it up with Group J. So, Portugal is just going to run away with this group. That's just how it's going to be. They're on 6 points. They've scored 10 goals through two matches, conceded zero. Nobody else in this group is on their level, and let alone two teams that are going to overtake them. So, I feel pretty confident in saying that Portugal is going to be one of the top two in this group. Slovakia is second on 4 points. Bosnia and Herzegovina is third on 3 points. Iceland is fourth on 3 points. Luxembourg on one, and Liechtenstein on zero. I don't want to write Luxembourg and Liechtenstein off too soon, but combined they've scored 0 goals and conceded 17. So not good. I want to focus on the other three teams in Slovakia, Bosnia, and Iceland. I think there was a lot of optimism about Bosnia. There was a lot of pessimism about Slovakia given their Nations League performance. I think people have soured a bit perhaps on Iceland. But I don't really think any of those three teams have really showed that they're definitively better than the other two or definitively worse than the other two.
Yeah, I agree. This is a massive window for all three of those teams. So Slovakia heads to Iceland. Iceland has two home matches. They play Slovakia and then they play Portugal. So
When is that Slovakia Iceland match?
that is
Saturday?
no. It's our favorite day.
No,
It's on Friday.
it's Saturday, isn't it?
It is not.
Okay. So yeah, Slovakia and Iceland is going to be a huge game.
It's a big game. This is it's a big game in Iceland as well. They're going to have a large crowd there. This is the first match in charge for Aga Hareda. I can never say his name. Hareda. It's his first match in charge. He's called in some young players. He's called back some players. Albert Gudmundsson is back in the squad. There were a lot of people who were upset that he wasn't getting minutes, or not even called into the squad under their previous coach. Can he play a role in this? It's really interesting. There's still players from the old guard for Iceland that are just like hanging on. They continue to get called in, and I don't know if it's because they just haven't found somebody who can replace, or they're concerned about going with the youth. I don't know. It is a talented crop of players coming through for Iceland, and I think they're going to improve over the years. Is it maybe too early for them this time around? I think maybe yes. But for Slovakia, if they can go to Iceland, get 3 points, then they go to, I think they go to Liechtenstein after that.
They do. They do.
So, if they can bring home 6 points in this window, they're going to put themselves in a really good position because it's unlikely that Iceland's going to do that. And I'm not, who does Bosnia plays Portugal. So it's unlikely that they're going to do that too. So Slovakia could really strengthen their position in this group. In this window, it's a big window for them.
I think we're going to really get to see if Slovakia is the team that they showed in the first two match days of Euro qualifying, or are they really that team that just underperformed in the Nations League. They should beat Liechtenstein. I don't think it's necessarily a given, but they should. But I'm going to be really interested in that Iceland-Slovakia match. I feel like Iceland's going to be really tough. That's one that just, to me, I feel like Iceland, that's like a big turning point for them, because if they lose at home, I think that's going to pretty much sink them. Like, I think they will think that, you know, that's really it for them in this campaign. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see what Iceland does. And it's tough too, because to your point, like, they've got some of these older players that have been around for a while, and like, you know, their peak, it was a long time ago, like in terms of just years of playing, you know, we're talking like 5 to 7 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something that was like a couple years ago. Like, that is a long time. And especially given when they did rise to that level, you know, it was a great story, and you heard so much about how they grew these players over years and years. And when they got to that point, they're in their prime. And if that was 5 to 7 years ago, you got to replenish that talent pool. And I agree. I think they're still hanging on a little bit to some of those old players. And it's tough, because they got you exactly what you wanted and got you to that level. And it proved that their philosophy and their growth strategy worked. So, yeah, I do think they're a little bit caught in that, you know, do we fully transition? Do we not? But I think this match against Slovakia, I think, is going to be a huge turning point just for them as a national team, period.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Herrera does in terms of lineups and who he starts, right? You've got so the U19 Euros are this window as well, and clubs don't actually have to release players for it, but so what does Augie do? He's like, okay, well, if you're not gonna release Christian Linsen, who's a young midfielder at Ajax, for our U19s, we'll just call you up into the senior squad. Why not? So, you know, he's definitely a player to look out for. He's got a few minutes for Ajax this last season, and he'll be getting more, I think, going forward. I don't anticipate he's gonna get a lot of minutes this window, but you never know.
Yeah.
But you know, it you are starting to see that transition with Iceland. You know, a lot of younger players starting to come in, but you've still got your Bjarnasons, your Aaron Gunnarssons, your Alfred Finnbogason. I mean, these guys are still there.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, can they do it? You know, can they? I think the defense is the biggest question mark in this Iceland team. And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating to see how they go up against and how they compare against, you know, Slovakia and if they're leaky or not, because, you know, Slovakia, they drew in their first game with Luxembourg. They didn't, that was a goalless draw, and then they scored two against Bosnia. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Agreed. Just want to briefly touch on Bosnia. They're a team that, like, another team that we've been kind of on the other end of the spectrum, kind of how Greece, people are saying we overrated them, have heard a lot about we're underrating Bosnia. I don't know. I think we'll see. I think after the first match when they destroyed Iceland 3-0, like, look, told you so. And then they lost 2-0 at Slovakia, and we were like, yeah, told you so. So I don't know. I think the jury is still out on Bosnia. They're at Portugal. I'm not expecting them to get any points from that match, but if they do, huge for them. And then they're hosting Luxembourg. I think really they need to handle that pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But I think it still remains to be seen. I don't think we're going to know more about Bosnia really until they play Iceland and Slovakia again. Yeah. So we'll see. I expect them to be in the mix and continue to be there, but I'm not ready to take a position on Bosnia yet.
So, right on.
All right, well, we're gonna wrap up here. A lot going on in the June window. We'll be back to talk about the Gold Cup at a later date. We'll probably be back to recap what went down in the June window at some point, provide an update on where things stand in all three of these confederations and AFCON qualifying and Euro qualifying. So we appreciate you sticking with us and taking the time to listen. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow Joe on Twitter at 12th Yank. You can follow me, Brandon, at @we_global on Twitter. We Global Football, International Football, Statistics, Odds, Rankings, etc. And of course, follow our pod, please. The Window International Football Pod. We're at Window INTL Pod on Twitter, and we can chat there and interact. And looking forward to all of that as well. And we'll be tweeting and providing insight and reactions throughout the window. So please be sure to give us a follow. And thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you soon.